1st of July, 1936. Talk number 220. Mr. B.C. Das asked, contemplation is possible only with control of mind, and control can be accomplished only by contemplation. Is it not a vicious circle? Maharshi, yes, they are interdependent. They must go on side by side. Practice and dispassion bring about the result gradually. Dispassion is practice to check the mind from being projected outward. Practice is to keep it turned inward. There is a struggle between control and contemplation. It is going on constantly within. Contemplation will, in due course, be successful. Devotee, how to begin? Your grace is needed for it. Maharshi, grace is always there. Dispassion cannot be acquired, nor realization of the truth, nor adherence in the self, in the absence of Guru's grace, the master quoted. Practice is necessary. It is like training a roguish bull confined to his stall by tempting him with luscious grass and preventing him from straying. Then the master read out a stanza from Tiruvachakam, which is an address to the mind, saying, quote, O humming bee, namely mind, why do you take the pains of collecting tiny specks of honey from innumerable flowers? There is one from whom you can have the whole storehouse of honey by simply thinking or seeing or speaking of him. Get within and hum to him. Himkara. Unquote. Devotee, should one have a form in one's mind supplemented with reading or chanting God's name in one's meditation? Maharshi, what is mental conception except it be meditation? Devotee, should the form be supplemented by repetition of mantras or dwelling on divine attributes? Maharshi, when japa is the predominating tendency, vocal japa becomes eventually mental, which is the same as meditation. Talk number 221, Mr. Bose. A form means duality. Is that good? Maharshi, one who questions like that had better adopt the path of inquiry. Form is not for him. Devotee, in my meditation, a blank interposes. I see no figure. Maharshi, of course not. Devotee, what about the blank? Maharshi, who sees the blank? You must be there. There is consciousness witnessing the blank. Devotee, does it mean that I must go deeper and deeper? Maharshi, yes. There is no moment when you are not. 2nd of July, 1936. Talk number 222. Dr. Lohara, a visitor, had studied several books, including Upadesara, and visited several saints, sadhus, and yogis, probably 1,500, as he puts their number. A sadhu in Trimbak has told him that he has still debts to pay, which, if done, will enable him to have realization. His only debt, as he conceived it, was the marriage of his son. It has since been performed, and he now feels himself free from karmic indebtedness. He therefore seeks Sri Bhagavan's guidance for freedom from mental unhappiness, which persists in spite of his not being indebted. Maharshi, which text of Upadesara did you read? Devotee, the Sanskrit text. Maharshi, it contains the answer to your question. Devotee, my mind cannot be made steady by any amount of effort. I have been trying since 1918. The master quoted from Upadesara, merging the mind into the heart certainly comprises meritorious duty, karma, devotion, bhakti, yoga, and supreme wisdom, jnana. That is the whole truth in a nutshell. Devotee, that does not satisfy my search for happiness. I am unable to keep my mind steady. The master quoted again from the same book, continuous search for what the mind is results in its disappearance. That is the straight path. Devotee, how to search for the mind then? Maharshi, the mind is only a bundle of thoughts. The thoughts have their root in the I thought. He quoted, whoever investigates the origin of the I thought, for him the ego perishes. This is the true investigation. Unquote. The true I is then found shining by itself. Devotee, this I thought rises from me, but I do not know the self. Devotee, these are only mental concepts. You are now identifying yourself with the wrong I, which is the I thought. This I thought rises and sinks, whereas the true significance of I is beyond both. There cannot be a break in your being. You who slept are also now awake. There was no unhappiness in your deep sleep, whereas it exists now. What is it that has happened now so that this difference is experienced? There was no I thought in your sleep, whereas it is now present. The true I is not apparent, and the false I is parading itself. This false I is the obstacle to your right knowledge. Find out where from this false I arises. Then it will disappear. You will be only what you are. That is, absolute being. Devotee, how to do it? I have not succeeded so far. Maharshi, search for the source of the I thought. That is all that one has to do. The universe exists on account of the I thought. If that ends, there is an end of misery also. The false I will end only when its source is sought. Dr. Lohara asked for the meaning of one stanza in Upadesara. Maharshi, the one then in sleep is also now awake. There was happiness in sleep, but misery and wakefulness. There was no I thought in sleep, but it is now while awake. The state of happiness and of no I thought in sleep is without effort. The aim should be to bring about that state even now. That requires effort. Talk number 223. Dr. Lohara, why does the mind not sink into the heart even while meditating? Maharshi, a floating body does not readily sink unless some means are adopted for making it do so. Breath control makes the mind quiescent. The mind must be alert and meditation pursued unremittingly even when it is at peace, then it sinks into the heart. Or the floating body might be loaded with weights and made to sink. So also association with the wise will make the mind sink into the heart. Such association is both mental and physical. The extremely visible being of the guru pushes the mind inward. He is also at the heart of the seeker. And so he draws the latter's inward-bent mind into the heart. This question is asked only when the man begins to meditate and finds it difficult. Let one practice breath control just a little, and the mind will be purified. It does not now sink into the heart because the latent tendencies stand as obstacles. They are removed by breath control or association with the wise. In fact, the mind is always in the heart, but it is restive and moves about on account of latent tendencies. When the tendencies are made ineffective, it will be restful and at peace. By breath control, the mind will be only temporarily quiescent, because the tendencies are still there. If the mind is transformed into the self, it will no longer give trouble. That is done by meditation. Talk number 224. A disciple asked how he could recognize his own natural primal condition. Maharshi, absolute freedom from thoughts is the state conductive to such recognition. From the attendance notes. Talk number 225. When Sri Bhagavan and Rangaswami, an attendant, were on the rocks, Bhagavan noticed someone in the ashram rocking in a rocking chair and remarked to the attendant, quote, Shiva made over all his possessions to Vishnu and wandered away in the forests and wilderness and cemeteries and lived on begged food. In his view, non-possession is higher in the scale of happiness than possession of things. Unquote. Devotee, what is that higher happiness? Maharshi, to be free from anxieties. Possessions create anxieties, such as their safeguarding, their utilization, etc. Non-possession does not bring any anxieties in its train. Therefore, Shiva resigned everything in favor of Vishnu, and he himself went away happy. Divestment of possessions is the highest happiness. 3rd of July, 1936. Talk number 226. A visitor from Tirukoilar asked if the study of the sacred books will reveal the truth. Maharshi, that will not suffice. Devotee, why not? Maharshi, samadhi alone can reveal it. Thoughts cast a veil over reality, and so it cannot be clear in states other than samadhi. Devotee, is there thought in samadhi or is there not? Maharshi, there will only be the feeling I am and no other thoughts. Devotee, is not I am a thought? Maharshi, the egoless I am is not a thought, it is realization. The meaning or significance of I is God. The experience of I am is to be still. 4th of July, 1936. Talk number 227. The master observed, being of the nature of bliss, why does one continue to crave for happiness? To be rid of that craving is itself salvation. The scriptures say, you are that. The imparting of that knowledge is their purpose. The realization must be by your finding out who you are and abiding as that, that is, yourself. To be repeating, I am that, or not this, is only a waste of time. For the worthy disciple, the work lies within himself and not without. As Bhagavan was descending the hill, One of the workers just outside the ashram stopped work and was about to prostrate before the master. Then the master said, "To engage in your duty is the true prostration." The master's attendant asked, "How?" Maharshi, "To perform one's duty carefully is the greatest service to God." Then, smiling, he entered the hall. Talk number 228. At lunch, a visitor from Nellore asked the master for a tiny bit of food, prasad, from his dish. Maharshi, "Eat without thinking of the ego. Then what you eat becomes Bhagavan's prasad." After lunch, the master continued humorously, "If I had given you one morsel from my plate, each one would ask for a morsel too. What will be left for me if I distribute the whole plate to others? So you see that it is not devotion. There is no significance in eating a morsel from my plate. Be a true devotee." 8th of July, 1936. Talk number 229. At 8 a.m., the pet squirrel was watching for an opportunity to run out. The master remarked, "All wish to run out. There is no limit to going out. Happiness lies within and not without."